To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. I read you my science fiction on this podcast. We're getting into the Time War of the Devrisium right now. I'll set things up so that you can listen without having listened before and understand what's going on. It's Alibi Jones and the Time War of the Devrisium, featuring my character, Alibi Jones. He's a mediator for the Solar Alliance in the 2130s, as humankind is expanding out into the stars. Unfortunately, in expanding out into the stars, we're running into a whole bunch of races that are already out there, one of which is this race called the Devrisium. They claim to have time travel abilities. And so, this is Alibi Jones and the Time War of the Devrisium. This is part two, Remember Two Things, the second story out of four. It's a four-story, short-story cycle, basically. And you can listen to each of these stories as a standalone story. They work. Now, through little fault of his own, Alibi Jones has become entangled with this time-traveling race. These beings called the Devrisium. He kind of accidentally used one of their devices, a stolen device of theirs, to travel a couple minutes through time. That was in our last episode, in the story about time. Now, for some reason, that has really ticked off the Devrisium, who, although pissed, seem to have left Alibi alone for now. The thing of it is, you can't always tell when you are in a time war, because timelines can change, and if you're in the timeline, you might not, in fact, probably won't, notice. Unless you've somehow changed your relationship to the timeline. You know, by blipping ahead a minute or two or something. So that may be why Alibi Jones is waking up and remembering his encounter with the Devrisium happening two different ways. How can he have two sets of memories? We'll try to find out in Remember Two Things. That's our short story today on Glow in the Dark Radio. I've also got something different. Got a special treat for you. Some music. This isn't something I usually do. I don't think there's been original music besides Juan Carlos Quatordio's themes. I don't think we've had original music on the podcast since I was playing my own tunes about 10 years ago. But here's the deal. Friday night, feeling the urge to see some live music, I wandered out and caught a local Burlington, Vermont band, Wolfhand. Saw them for the first time, and they blew me away. Now, their debut EP, Plaguelands, came out back in December. And I'm going to feature Bandit Cult after the story segment, one of their tunes. Their songs are kind of dark progressive, a little bit like early Pink Floyd. They're all instrumentals, cinematic, kind of ambient in spots, epic. It's good stuff, and I want you to hear it, so a treat's on the way. A little bit of music after the story. If you want to find my stuff online, just go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's MikeLuoma.com. Find me on Facebook and Twitter that way too, after there, .com/MikeLuoma. MikeLuoma. And remember, there's the Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio, where we have our group, the Radio Activists. There is a Facebook group for Friends of Glow in the Dark Radio, which you should join if you're listening. And speaking of joining things, you can also join my mailing list. Beyond all that Facebook and Twitter stuff, I've got a mailing list where I let you know what's really going on. It's our direct line. Sign up for that right at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com or on the Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. You get a free book when you sign up for the mailing list, too. It's an exclusive PDF. It's only available if you're on the mailing list. It's the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life, and it has unreleased material. It's all stuff of mine, of course, but still, rarities, coolness, I hope. Again, sign up on any of my sites, glowinthedarkradio.com, mikeluoma.com, the Facebook page, wherever you see that little subscribe box. I do have a little bit of news to share with you. Hello, Spotify. Yeah. This morning I was telling somebody on Facebook that the podcast wasn't yet on Spotify, but then I double checked and we are. I don't know when exactly, but I really don't know which of my requests got through, but we are on there now. So cool. So if it's easiest for you to listen on Spotify, go for it. The easiest search I found was using my last name, Luoma, L-U-O-M-A. But yeah, now I'm on Spotify. So let's see, used to be just music on Spotify, but now they have my podcast. And it used to be just stories on my podcast, but now I've got music. You know, maybe somebody is messing with the time stream. Oh, hey, this is episode number 475, which is a big, nice, round, juicy number. And also got me thinking ahead to episode 500 and doing some math and all that. It's going to hit just before Christmas, I think, if I can stay on track, stay on target. And that got me thinking I should do something special for episode 500, maybe something involving Christmas. And I started thinking of an Alibi Jones short story. So I'm going to do a brand new Alibi Jones short story, a Christmas story for that podcast for episode 500. And since I've been writing notes for this podcast, I've been in touch with Federico Guillen. He and I have been talking about doing a new comic book project that we're still talking about. It's a bigger thing, but we are going to do a comic book version of this Alibi Jones Christmas story for the holiday. So you'll be able to get this as a Christmas story. And I'll add this to the Alibi Jones stories we already have in comic book form, and put out an Alibi Jones graphic novel in time for Christmas. So that's the plan right now. It just came together today, like all good plans do. I love it when a plan comes together. But that's the idea. That's what's happening. Got show 500 in the sights just before Christmas. All right. That's it for news. We've got the Alibi Jones Time War story, Remember Two Things, on the way. Plus, amazing music from Wolfhand. It's all coming up after we get a quick word from T and Pip, thesharedesk.com, the Shared Desk podcast. I saw T and Pip at Balticon, was on a panel with Pip. T was talking to us from the audience. And they talk about Balticon on their new episode of The Shared Desk. So check it out. And we'll check out that Alibi Jones story next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
So how would you describe a podcast like The Shared Desk?
It's a podcast that took its sweet time to do a promo.
Well, I think that goes without saying.
I mean, you could say The Shared Desk is a podcast about collaboration, because that's what we do.
Wait. There's a lot more to The Shared Desk. You got our Loot Crate Looky-Loo.
Oh, what's in the box?
And then what we're doing when we're not writing. Usually it's pretty nerdy.
Nerd!
And then there are the drop-ins.
Has the whole world gone crazy?
Yes, there are drop-ins.
And we love having guests on the show. It's The Shared Desk, after all.
And if it's Katie or Lauren, you get some lovely singing as well.
So find The Shared Desk on iTunes, Stitcher, or at theshareddesk.com. The Shared Desk. Two writers.
One podcast.
Different points of view.
Here's Alibi Jones, Remember Two Things, on Glow in the Dark Radio.
I did not need to kill you this time. Interesting. I take this box and leave you instead with this knowledge. The rise of the Devrisium is coming. You may evade my blade, Madone says. But you cannot stop us, Alibi Jones.
The Devrisium and the travel box disappear. A voice in the back of Alibi's mind objects at the replaying memory.
That's not right. Then how did it go?
For reasons unknown, time is protecting you from my death blows.
The Devrisium springs, bringing down a mighty blow with his sword. But again, he misses Alibi. Madone again growls in frustration.
I am denied,
the alien cries. The Devrisium drops the sword's point toward the ground, looking defeated.
These events have not occurred before at this point in the timeline. Could this change the Great War? Alter the rise of the Devrisium?
War? The what? Alibi is struck by what the alien just said. A safe trooper brings his gun down level and fires at the back of the Devrisium.
Fwash!
The blast cracks the armor of the Devrisium's sword-wielding shoulder.
Ah!
The Devrisium cries, its sword and sword arm hanging useless at its side. Madone's other arm reaches up as it tries to stem the flow of an oily cloud of something oozing out of the crack in the exosuit.
My suit fails me. The containment field is rupturing. Things have changed. Time has shifted. This is all wrong.
The alien jerks with a spasm. A wave of time energy ripples out off the Devrisium with a loud thrum. The cloudy gray oily stuff spews out of the crack in the armor and floats in the air around the Devrisium. The Devrisium lurches forward and flings its good arm over the box on the table. None of the humans in the room can get near it. The ooze now gathers around Madone in a loose cloud of gooey smoke, keeping them at bay. The armor looks like it is breaking down, disintegrating. The seams of its suit now all leak the floating black ooze. The Devrisium pulls the box against its chest. It seems to be collapsing, imploding. The armor exosuit shriveling up. Space and time around it also collapses. The air warps and blurs as time goes out of joint around the alien. The humans in the room shield their eyes and lean away from the developing vortex. A strange sound begins to build.
You have no idea,
Madone says, his voice strangely distant.
Time has changed.
Space around the alien warps completely, spinning down into a black hole where his chest used to be. There is but a blur where the Devrisium was, as a loud pop fills the air, then silence. The alien is gone.
How can I remember something happening two different ways?
Alibi sits up in bed, shaking his head. Dueling memories have him talking to himself. Did the Devrisium take the box? Or did he implode? Alibi rubs the bridge of his nose with his right hand, trying to sort it out. The Devrisium had appeared right here in his quarters, his rooms in his aunt's apartments on Ceres Central.
There are still sword marks in the kitchen area. Ceres is a dwarf planet, the largest asteroid in the solar system. Humankind built a base there about 25 years ago. Ceres Central is built into and on top of the asteroid's rocky crust. It's become a major hub for interstellar traffic and trade. Ceres Central is home to several alien trade delegations and embassies. The former leader of the Solar Alliance, Anita Capituna, is the station's governor. She's also the CEO of the SA's primary R&D corporation, The Project, and the aunt of Alibi Jones. She raised Alibi from the time he was 3 years old. Alibi has also known some of the Project's scientists since he was a boy. Who better to ask about timelines and memories than an old family friend who just so happens to be the leader in the young field of temporal physics? When Alibi tells Krish about the dueling timelines he's remembering, Krish tells Alibi he's on his way. The old doctor leaves his lab on Rigel 4 and heads to Ceres Central to look for temporal evidence. Thanks for coming, Krish, Alibi says, letting Krish into his living room on Ceres Central. Krish is a white-haired but balding older man of Indian descent. An old-school scientist, as usual, he's wearing his lab coat. I'm hoping the famous Dr. Krishnamurti can help me with a problem.
Oh, must be a big one, Krish says. Don't think I ever hear you use my full name, Alibi.
As they shake hands, neither notices a blurring rift, a temporal disturbance forming in the air behind them. A slightly perceptible buzz begins as well, a low humming sound. I hope this doesn't sound too strange, Krish, Alibi says. But it feels as if I have two sets of memories in my head. Before Alibi can continue, the rift opens up. The humming grows into a loud bass thrum that fills the air. The armor-clad alien, Madon, steps through the rift into Alibi Jones's living room, carrying his time sword and surrounded by temporal energy. The Devrisium turns, apparently surveying the room and its inhabitants. Alibi and Krish are alarmed at his sudden materialization.
You? You're dead, Alibi exclaims. At least I thought you were.
One of the Devrisium, Krish wonders aloud.
The three stand facing each other in Alibi's living room on Ceres Central. Madon of the Devrisium points his time sword at Alibi.
Something is not right, the Devrisium says. Alibi Jones, you are an anomaly.
What else is new? Alibi says. Noticing Krish, Madon turns and addresses the doctor.
Ah, human time travel expert Krishnamurti?
Alibi is on the move. Protective, he tries to get between Krish and Madon. But Madon actually lowers his time sword.
Don't answer, Alibi shouts.
Krish looks fascinated by the Devrisium in its exosuit, his curiosity stirred at seeing the rarely seen alien.
Yes?
Krish answers anyway. He peeks out from behind the overprotective Alibi as Madon of the Devrisium addresses him again.
Have you found your time travel technology has ceased functioning?
The Devrisium asks.
It's a trap, Alibi says. Don't answer him, Krish.
Actually, Krish says, pushing past Alibi to talk to the Devrisium. Yes, our temporal tech has stopped working.
Madon lets the tip of his temporal sword rest on the ground so he can converse with the scientist.
Interesting, Madon says. As has our own. My suit no longer moves me through time. I can only teleport.
Only teleport, Alibi says. He can't help chuckling.
We hoped it was temporary, Krish says.
We Devrisium believe time is broken,
Madone says. A sound distracts them. Madone, Alibi, and Krish all turn to look as the door to the living room slides open. Alibi! A familiar voice calls out. Krish walks in. That is, a second duplicate Dr. Krishnamurti walks into the room. The two Krishes stare at each other. Alibi and Madone can't help themselves and also stare at the new Krish. Oh! The new Krish exclaims. A puzzled look crosses his face.
This timeline, this pass,
Madone says, trying to continue. There's a loud pop. The new Krish disappears, leaving a temporal cloud in his wake. The other three look on in disbelief. Well, Alibi and old Krish do. Hard to tell about Madone.
This pass, I was saying, is a dead end,
Madone goes on.
And I cannot leave.
Speaking of dead, Alibi says to Madone of the Devrisium, I remember you imploding.
Do you now?
Madone asks.
Curious. That would explain much.
Yes, yes, very curious, Krish says. The old scientist has overcome his awestruck first impression and now begins examining the Devrisium from afar. I'm lost, Alibi says. He shrugs.
You are from the next pass,
Madone says.
There I am dead. Thus I cannot leave this time.
But if I'm from the next pass, how come I'm here? Alibi wonders.
The Devrisium sent you here, obviously,
Madone tells him.
Fools.
The towering, armored alien turns to Krish.
Dr. Krishnamurti, we need your temporal freezer.
Alibi shakes his head. Krish doesn't have a temporal free. Yes, Krish says. All right. Alibi is thrown off by Krish's response. As he looks from Krish to the Devrisium, it's hard at first to focus on Madone. The alien is beginning to vibrate ever so slightly.
We also need one of your advanced time travel units,
Madone says.
You can now send bioenergy backwards in time, correct?
Krish doesn't have Alibi starts. Again, he finds he's wrong as Krish nods. You do? Alibi's eyes grow wide. He feels disoriented. I don't remember any of this. Madone towers over both of them. Alibi mostly confused. Krish too curious about the Devrisium to be scared or frightened.
You are from the next pass,
Madone tells Alibi.
Events happen differently each pass.
I guess, Alibi says.
This pass, we are at war,
Madone says.
You humans have made brilliant strides in temporal technology.
Thank you, Krish says tentatively. Travel backwards is extremely limited. But yes, we can send energy back. But it is a one-way trip. We cannot retrieve the energy after we send it. One way, Alibi asks. I don't like this.
Unnecessary, Madone says.
Alibi notices the alien is even more out of focus. Madone appears to be vibrating at a faster rate, almost flickering. Dangerous-looking black cracks have appeared in his exosuit. The alien ignores his state as he continues.
Alibi must use the time freezer,
Madone says.
After he stops time, he'll have to send himself back through time to his past, to the moment just before I first appeared to him.
Now Krish is shaking his head. But I told you, the temporal tech isn't working, Krish says.
Alibi is not from this pass,
Madone says.
It may work for him. Freezing time should help. As the operator, he will be the one outside of time. He should then be able to send himself back to before the passes parted.
Alibi looks confused, again. Before I saw you implode? Alibi asks. Or, wait, did you take back the box and leave? I remember two things. Madone shakes a fist in the air. The effort leaves after images floating in the air behind the alien's arm in pseudo-psychedelic trails. The Devrisium seems fainter, fading, as if dissolving into the time stream.
Trying to remove Alibi Jones from the current pass by sending you back a pass. Only one Devrisium is fool enough,
Madone says.
They have splintered time. It is all ending. I am dissolving. Time is splintering. We must send you back, Alibi Jones.
You'd work against your people?
When they are about to destroy everything?
Madone asks rhetorically.
Yes, no matter. They already call me the Mad One, and I am already dead.
Madone, Mad One, Alibi says. Oh, it seems obvious in hindsight. I thought it was Italian, he mumbles, making a joke. Madone, the Mad One, is now a dissolving blur.
Passes intermingle. Outside observers?
The alien says. It's hard to make it out.
Do it! Go back! Goodbye!
All Alibi and Krish can do is look on in a sort of horror as he melts away in front of them. Krish brings Alibi to his temporal lab on Rigel IV for the experiment Madone suggested. He straps Alibi into a boxy, advanced tech time machine that looks like a shower stall with loads of tubes and tech tacked on. A massive time-freezing unit stands nearby. Alibi surveys the tech with a dubious eye as Krish explains the process. Alibi is going to go back in time, but he may not even realize it. Alibi Jones is glad for the alone time his vacation at his Aunt Anita's on Ceres Central affords him. He's found staring off into the stars to be kind of therapeutic after the chaos of recent weeks. Whoa! An involuntary gasp leaves Alibi as a jolt of deja vu hits him. He sits up a little taller in his chair as he tries to figure out what just happened. Weirdest flash of deja vu. More than that, though, somehow. Feel like I'm forgetting something. Alibi sighs. He remembers something else he's been wanting to forget. Should probably delete those old messages from you-know-who, he says to himself. He takes out his wand and does a search for her and her messages. Better play back the intros to be sure they're all hers, Alibi says, starting to check and delete the messages left in his system by the woman he'd now like to forget. Alibi Jones looks at Guy and RB in the airlock, two good safe troopers. After the attack and implosion by the Devrisium Madone last month, Alibi's Aunt Anita had been able to convince the powers that be to beef up Dr. Krishnaverti's temporal experiments for the project. Krish adapted his transpace nullifier to dampen temporal fields, creating a sort of time freezer, as he called it. The first, installed on Ceres Central, kept the Devrisium from attacking Alibi there. The second was barely in place at Krish's lab on Rigel IV when the Devrisium made their first attack there. Now that it's working, the Devrisium have fallen back to the inner asteroid belt in Rigel's system. Alibi got his aunt's permission and help to get temporarily assigned to security for Krish's experiments. He wasn't sure why, but he told her, I feel like I should be there, for some reason. Now Alibi and his crew are patrolling the asteroids, trying to track down the Devrisium. He and the other two EVA-suited figures leave their safe cruiser's airlock and step out onto the surface of a small airless rock in deep space. Alibi raises the screen of the portable scanner so they can all look at the readings he's been getting. The display lights up their faceplates and faces. Krish said this should be the energy signature of the Devrisium, Alibi says. That mountain may not be what it seems. Let's head for that opening. Alibi leads the other two towards a cave on the asteroid's surface. Only one way to find out, he says. As they walk into the mouth of the cave, Alibi stops the other two. Wait! The two men turn, looking at Alibi, puzzled. I just had a massive flash, more than deja vu, Alibi says. The Devrisium are here. And they'll massively overpower us. I remember now. This is where I get captured and sent back to the last pass. Guy shakes his head. What? RB says. You two die. They capture me and send me back to another timeline that I only escape by going back into our past, Alibi says. But I remember now. We need to go. Alibi leads the other two out and away from the cave. We need more firepower, I think. Getting fuzzy again. The three men in the EVA suits walk away from the cave and back towards the ship.
So, Guy asks, did we just change time? By not going in there?
The three men stop. What? Alibi asks.
Since they didn't capture you, like they did before, did we change something?
Alibi is confused. There was something he was supposed to remember. But now Guy has a question. Captured? Alibi asks.
Who? What was I saying? Guy asks.
Alibi's puzzled.
Why have we turned around?
Alibi wonders. They're standing midway between the cruiser and the opening to the cave where they're getting the readings. Guy and RB just shake their heads. Alibi laughs. He starts back towards the suspicious-looking mountain. Alibi leads the other two into the cave.
Let's go!
They disappear into the darkness.
That was Alibi Jones, Remember Two Things, on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Man, it is hard to keep things straight when they fuck with the time stream, isn't it? Sometimes you can't alter the time stream. And sometimes when you're fighting a time war, your opponents may try to take you out of the current time stream entirely. That just may be what happens to Alibi Jones in our next story. He's waking up an old man, but he doesn't remember aging. That's coming up in our next story on Glow in the Dark Radio. Next episode, the next story in Alibi Jones and the Time War of the Devrisium, Memory Yet Green. Next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Just a word about the title of this story, Remember Two Things. It is indeed borrowed from the Dave Matthews Band, from their first independently released album. It was the title of the album. And it was kind of supposed to be a tribute of sorts. And not to Dave Matthews, no. Originally, this was to be a comic book story. And using a musical reference as a title was supposed to be an homage to Dirk Manning and Nightmare World, where his stories are all named after songs. I didn't want to be a slavish imitator, so I named it after an album, but yeah, Remember Two Things was supposed to be a comic book story that was an homage to Dirk Manning, at least its title. It's part of that big story I've mentioned before. There's a story to be told about my plans for the Alibi Jones comics and how they actually turned out. Entirely different. But that's not happening on this show. Because on this episode, with a story named for an album, I now bring you a song. By kind permission of the Burlington band Wolfhand, this is Bandit Cult from their Plaguelands EP on Glow in the Dark Radio. Thank you.
That is Wolfhand, Bandit Cult, from the Plaguelands EP, on Glow in the Dark Radio. What do you think? I saw them at the Monkey House in Winooski, in Vermont, on Friday night, playing in front of a tiny little crowd. And they were amazing. I posted to Instagram and everything. I came home, I bought what they had on Bandcamp, that was one of the tunes. And you can get this there too, the Plaguelands EP. That's wolfhandvt.bandcamp.com. They're Wolfhand. They've got a Facebook page after facebook.com/wolfhandmusic. Bandit Cult from Wolfhand from the Plaguelands EP on Glow in the Dark Radio. Ending quite literally on a different note this week than we usually do. Remember, you can find my stuff online. Facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio, or find me on Facebook or Twitter after there.com/MikeLuoma, MikeLuoma. There's MikeLuoma.com and glowinthedarkradio.com. And I'm on Instagram as glowinthedarkradio as well. Our theme music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.